The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of This Is Us 2 is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. And this month, the month of February, it's all about those luscious lips, my friends. You know when you just want to add a little bit of color, but you don't want to have to, I don't know, spend a lot of time or even, heck, look at yourself in the mirror. You just want something simple, add a little pop, add a little gloss. I got you, boo. My lip glosses are in super duper discount just for you since you're a listener of Blake and Mine. Head on over to MinuteWithMary.com/discount.
Hey guys, it's me, your dad.
Holy crap.
It's 1993, and you're all in your rooms here at the cabin trying to figure out just what you're going to put inside the capsule. To refresh your memories, Kevin wishes he was seeing Jurassic Park with Sophie right now. My Katie girl is pouring her heart into it as per usual. And Randall is overthinking his every move. No surprise there, bud. Anyhow, I had this
crazy idea to build a bigger house out here for me and your mom to grow old in. And your mom busted me while I was sketching it. I got embarrassed, crumpled it up, and tossed it in the trash. But then I thought to myself, you know, your mom believes in me, so why shouldn't I believe in myself, right?
So I go back outside to get my crumpled piece of paper out of the trash to put in the capsule, but it was gone. You know, at first I thought maybe the wind carried it away, or a bird who's got a thing for architecture. But then I realized that your mom must have taken it out of the trash so that she could put it in the capsule.
Out in the garden where we planted the seeds.
Again, because she believes in my dreams.
By the time you guys hear this, you're going to be teenagers. Probably harder on us than you already are. So let me just remind you
that your mom is the kind of woman who buries a crappy doodle because when it comes to the people that she loves, she does not mess around.
And Beck, if you're hearing this and I've grown stupid in middle age and I don't tell you enough, damn, do I love you. Oh man, this is gonna be really embarrassing if it actually was a bird who stole my crappy doodle and never made it into the capsule. So, yeah, okay.
All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to This Is Us on NBC. So sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. And welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I know right off the top, right off the jump, right now,
yeah,
I know that I don't tell Mary enough that I love her. So, I love you.
I love you too.
I love you very much.
Good.
And I'm looking for some tissues if you have any, because I went through the entire. I went through all the shaman that we have in the house last night, because oh goodness gracious,
what an episode!
Oh my,
what
goodness.
An episode!
Wow. You know, I'm going to do this right away.
Giddy up, buddy.
Giddy freaking up.
Yep.
Like, wow. Blew my doors off good. And today actually happens to be my story. Mary gave a good story last week.
Did I?
You did. And this week is you're going to be stuck with me, ladies and gents, so I apologize.
It's a good one.
It is a good one. I think, I hope, at least. As most of you know, and I'm sure most of you are sick of hearing, my mother died when I was...
this is not the one I thought you were going to
share. Well, which one are you going to say? Oh, the pee story.
I thought you were going to talk about peas. Never mind. Go sentimental.
I thought about that, but then this was more, I think, right before we started recording, I thought about this, and I think it's more apropos.
Okay, guys.
Most of you know that my mother died when I was 18. It happened very suddenly. She had an aneurysm when she was in Florida. And I didn't really get a chance to, you know, That was it. luckily, my mother was a doer. And she was somebody that was very eccentric. So she... my mother died. You have to remember back to the time. It was 2001, 2002. So 9/11 just happened, and my mother was a person. Once she got fixated on something, that was the end of it. Like there was no turning back from it. And my parents traveled a lot when I was that age. They were constantly traveling for vacations or work or whatever. It was just a consistent thing. My mother, because she was so great, decided that she was going to leave letters for...
Because 9/11 was 5 months before she passed.
Correct. So my mother decided she was going to leave letters for myself and my two sisters in case she died in a 9/11 terrorist-style attack. of course, that never happened, but she did die, and we did have these letters, and... wouldn't you know, we got a chance to read them. And it didn't really happen the way that it happened here in This Is Us, but it was something similar. It was words that I had not yet heard my mother say, you know, or even in this case, write. And I remember getting the letter and saying, wow, I can't believe my mom did this, number one. And I remember something along the lines of her saying, you know, I'm so proud of you. You know, even though I'm not there to see you graduate college and receive your diploma, I'll be there on that day. Even though I'm not going to be there at your wedding.
It's so crazy that she wrote them.
Yeah. It was pretty wild that she wrote these kind of letters. And just given that time period, right? It's incredible.
Yeah.
And, even though I'm not going to be there on your wedding day, I will be there. I'll be so proud of you. And those are the two things that I remember specifically from the letters. And I remember reading the letters to my sisters, too, because I read them aloud to all of us. I was sitting on my parents' bed reading these letters to my sisters and myself. And, yeah, what an experience, just having that kind of experience. It's just wild. I don't know how else to describe it. I wish I had more words for it. But it was touching. It was exceptional. So I had that story, and I was going to tell you about the time that Mary went away for the first time after we had our two kids, and my son decided to put peas up his nose, and I had
six
to take
peas.
Six peas, three in each nostril, and I had to take him to the doctors without my wife the first time she went away. Yeah, had to take him to the ER. I was going to tell that story, but then I thought about the story about my
this
mom.
This was much better.
I thought that was better. So if you guys would like to hear the pea story, I'm
we'll
happy to
share
tell you.
It someday.
I'm happy to tell you the pea story in more depth.
That was pretty much it.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, there's a
he
lot
survived.
More.
He survived.
There was a lot more torture with it, you know. but yeah, that's that. But as always, remember, guys, you can find us and in many different places. Mary, tell us where all the readers and all the listeners can find us.
MaryandBlake.com is the easiest place to find us. You can find us by searching Mary and Blake on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And you can also send us an email at what? Mary and Blake.
MaryandBlakeMedia@gmail.com. Marvin.
Yes.
It's time.
It is time.
It's time to get into this fracking awesome episode of This Is Us. You ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it. So normally, you know, the clip that we play at the beginning of this of these episodes are usually about a minute and a, or less.
This was not.
This, I was thinking about cutting up the clip at the beginning, and I was trying to find a way to make it a minute or so, and I said, you know what? No, I'm not changing
it. Thank you. And I hope other people enjoyed it, because I enjoyed hearing Jack's voice all that time.
Yeah, there's this very just comforting sound from Jack's voice. Mm-hmm. It just feels like your dad. It just feels like, it feels paternal. It feels like warm and settling, you know? It's just great. Anyway, so I kept it the way that it is, because I thought it was appropriate to do so.
I agree.
The title of this one is called The Cabin, which is an appropriate title for this episode, since it pretty much all timelines converge at the cabin. And the director, well, the director is a very special person in Mary and I's life. A very special person.
Out loud.
In our life. And her name just happens to be Catherine Hardwick. And why, Mary, is she so special?
Because she directed Twilight, the first Twilight movie, guys.
Yes, she did. And
which we quote all too frequently on this show. Hold on tight, Spider Monkey.
Way too frequently. And for some reason, I cannot find my sound.
I already said it in my own voice. Say it out loud.
I know, but there's just, there. You know.
You need the music. I'm sorry. Oh, well, you failed.
I can't find it. Where, okay. Where the heck is it?
So Catherine Hardwick is back on This Is Us as a director. This is not her first foray. This is not the first time that our fandoms collide.
No, not
the
first time.
She also directed 6 Thanksgivings.
I am legitimately shocked I cannot find this sound.
The writers of this episode were Elizabeth Berger and Isaac Apteker,
who are the co-showrunners of the I'm all thrown off now. I can't find the damn
sound effect.
I can't find the damn
drop.
Move
on, honey.
It's okay. Oh, here it is.
Say it.
Oh, my goodness.
Out loud.
There you go.
Catherine Hardwick.
There you go, Catherine Hardwick. Okay, so they are the co-showrunners of This Is Us, along with Dan Fogelman. But they're the ones who have taken the big day-to-day duties from Dan Fogelman and writing these episodes and guiding the writer's room and bringing mm-hmm. This Is Us together. They've written many episodes together, including Pilgrim Rick, Jack Pearson's Son, Moonshadow, Deja Vu, The Car, The Wedding, 9 Bucks, Her, The Pool Pot 2, and obviously this one. I have to say, their collection of episodes are among my favorite episodes written for This Is Us.
Agreed.
On many instances.
I mean,
instances.
Let's be real. I love so many episodes.
I know.
The fact that they have Pilgrim Rick, winners.
I know. Totally. Total
chicken
winners.
Chicken dinners. $9. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Her. Yep.
So what do you got for your lemonade rating on this one?
On a scale of 1 to 5 lemons, mm-hmm. I rate this show 5 lemonades.
I see why.
How about you?
A lot of the times I like to make fun of you for
you
giving
do.
Out fives. I
not
can't.
This time.
I can't this time. Although I'm not giving it a 5.
Yeah.
I'm giving it a 4.98. I'm giving it a 4.98, and I will get into why.
I like that.
But I love your response.
Yeah.
But I will
That's
absolutely.
What that
I will reiterate the fact that this is
Catherine Hardwick is shaking her head right now.
I Catherine, I'm
in a brooding emo Twilight way.
There's a possibility.
That's not in the first one.
Fine.
Say it. Oh my gosh.
Give me a 5, Blake.
Yes.
Give me a 5, Blake.
Just do it. Just do it, man.
No, I'm not doing it because there is a slight imperfection in this episode.
I know what it is, and it bothered me too, but I'm forgiving them.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Because it's not worthy.
All right, well, what's your GBG? what's your good and your bad and your great? I can't believe you actually have a bad in this episode.
I know.
I am shocked that you have a bad.
I know.
I thought this was going to be a good, great, best.
No. Because there was something bad, but I think that this blemish does not bring it down from the 5, but I need to acknowledge the blemish.
Fair, go.
Okay. My good is that the three themes from the previous episodes are what are put inside the time capsule.
Oh, yes.
So Kevin was all about like Sophie and how Sophie's always been there, and like we've seen them throughout different phases. It was a picture of him and Sophie.
Sure.
Kate, she's all I ever wanted was like love and this life and this idea of being loved and living happily ever after. Mm-hmm. And you get to see that
kind of not really working out to be true, or working out to be true. We don't know. But and then Randall being so flippin' anxious that he can't even pick a flippin' thing to put inside. So Kevin helped him out when he was so anxious, and Kevin was the one that he called to help him. So look, I thought that was really
you.
Cool.
Look at you. Good stuff.
Hey, it's like I watch this show for a living. My bad. Mark, period. Breaking the mug, period.
He sucks.
Yeah.
He sucks, bro. I am all set with Mark.
Like, the Mark breaking the mug was worse than Mark leaving her in the snow. Than Mark kicking her out of the car in the middle of the highway.
Just like that. A winner.
Mark broke that mug, and I wanted to break his face. I was so mad at this character who, like, I'm not supposed to like anyway, but man, oh man, that boiled my blood. And then everything with Mark deflated after that. And I was like, well, you had your moment. It was a mug. Am I great? Was Jack's tape being the same music?
Yep.
Of Jack's downfall death.
Correct.
But also, it made me think about how if I die young, my kids will have my podcasts.
That's right.
And even if I don't die young, my kids will have my voice.
Yeah, no matter what, they'll always have your voice.
And they'll be like, wow, mom was really lame and she would watch E.T. when it was a date.
They'll get to know all the great stories about you.
Yeah.
And they'll get... So I have to tell this quick story before we move on to my GBG.
Why? Oh, okay.
There was... If you go back and you listen to our episode for her,
okay,
Mary and I, we had this segment where we talked about the Princess Bride. And one of my favorite things in any podcast we've ever recorded is when I said to you, anybody want a peanut? And in reference to it. And your laugh is it's among one of the funniest things I've ever. And the reason why I'm talking about it today is
the,
because
like honk one, like
yeah, like there's like nothing okay. elegant about it. There's,
no,
go back to her that episode and listen right before we do our hot takes.
Okay,
we talk about the Princess Bride, and the reason why I bring it up is because, as you know, Mary, and some of you know on the show, I listen to our podcasts incessantly, and so I can figure out what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong.
I do the opposite.
And it's a thing that I have. Like tomorrow after this downloads, I will listen to it in the car on the way to work. Absolutely. But I was listening to our last episode and it went through the whole thing. And usually what happens on Apple Podcasts is that it goes automatically to the next episode and that's available. And the first thing that pops up is me saying, anybody want a peanut? And you laughing. And that hysterical laugh of yours, I have to find it and play it again.
Okay.
But thinking that our children will have that.
They'll and have that laugh.
That ridiculous laugh of yours, it's
like
it's
if
tremendous.
I die young, if I die tragically, I want my kids to go back and watch This Is Us on whatever like super space age player they can to watch it on in the future. And then I want them to like listen to these podcasts. Granted, they probably won't. They'll be like, mom talked so much in our life. We don't need to listen to her again. But anyway, that's what I was thinking about, was that not only is this is Jack's tape, but it's kind of odd that and amazing that we as our kids' parents record ourselves talking about things and sharing even little stories.
Right.
Not nearly as sweet as Jack's tape, but that it's pretty cool that one day when we're dead,
they'll have
this
wealth.
Maybe this will
live
on.
Yeah, hopefully, at least. For me, the good was, goodness gracious, this was awesome.
Okay.
Randall's reaction to Kevin when he found out.
Yeah.
It was this smile, and it was just pure ecstasy when he found out that Kevin slept with Madison. And he was just like, oh, ooh, this is good. This is, I can't pass this one up. I'm so happy I found this out. That was awesome. The bad for me was that the stuff with Mark was a tad anticlimactic. And
after the mug, agreed.
After the mug, but I felt like they were building up to this big thing for three episodes during the hell of a week, part one, two, and three.
Agreed.
I felt like they were building up to this big thing. And I remember, obviously, Rebecca saying to Kate, I didn't know what was happening back then. And it just felt bigger as they were building. And then it was just like, okay, get out. You're no longer here. You locked my daughter out. I just...
Like, granted, if that happened to anybody,
oh God,
it would be terrible. You would talk about it as like this terrible experience, terrible boyfriend, the first person she loved, all this stuff. But agreed, there was a moment when Mark started to move away to go get his stuff and Randall followed behind him in the shot.
Yep.
And I thought, awesome. Here we go.
I thought that was going to be it. I thought my hot take, Rocky was coming out, baby.
And I was ready. I'm ready. Got my fists up.
Nope. I thought my hot take was coming true. I was ready to hit the bell. I was so excited.
I was worried for Kevin. I was happy that Randall took it. Next time you watch it, honestly, Randall takes a step forward and kind of follows him.
Oh, yeah.
And I was so happy that Kevin wasn't going to fight because he needs his pretty face.
It was just, you know, it was incredible. So anyway, so I just felt like they were building to something bigger and
it deflated.
It was definitely deflating. But the great is that the show oftentimes takes some big swings, you know, with their creativity, with the things that they want to do. And in their own DNA of the show. And
Dino DNA.
In this case, they take a really big swing with the music bed of To Build a Home, followed by with Jack's tape. And then how, like, the house was, like, drawn in. And then it was shown how it was actually built in real life.
Yep.
That... Having all those three things in a row or interplaying with each other, especially with the way that the house is being drawn like an architect, that is a big creative swing because it's surreal, you know, seeing it. And it with all of those three things happening all at once, it could have been a really, really big miss. It could have been the strikeout of the ages, especially leaning back on To Build a Home. That could have been a really big swing and a miss because, you know, that song, it's so correlated to Jack's death.
Correct.
And their old house burning up. I remember vividly the curtains going up in flames and hearing that song. So that's a big swing. It could have been a really big miss. But they nailed it. They absolutely got it. It worked, and it worked really fracking well. And it was, it's the first time I've cried in This Is Us in a while.
Yeah.
Where when Jack's voice came on that tape, internally, a part of me just broke. Where I said, I can't believe this. I can't even imagine. Actually, I can't imagine. But I can't imagine what that must have been like. Especially when he was like, oh, the next time you hear this, you're going to be teenagers. And they're not, and they're going to be 40, and that's the first time they hear this. That considers how long the stretch has been for them. So, wow, it was
such an extraordinary episode. You get like goosebumps just thinking about it. Well, of course, those are our GBGs, but it's time to hear what some of yours are. So here's the time.
And we said
that's three.
Big three.
Big three.
It's not like we've been doing this podcast for a long time.
Sorry,
I
thought you were done.
Fine, go for it.
Okay, the first one comes from Jessica Collins. She says, 5 large, full-blooded, sweet lemonades from Chick-fil-A. They have excellent lemonade.
Wait, what?
They have excellent lemonade, but I usually have the diet. This episode was not diet.
Nice.
You know what, Jessica? Just for you, absolutely.
Bam! Just like that, a winner.
Okay. All right. Ellen Hanwright gave this episode 5+. Lemonades.
She gave it 5+.
5+ plus an exclamation point.
Wow.
And here are Ellen's GGBs because she follows the real rule that I was supposed to follow.
Yes, you
were. When it's a 5, you give it.
Or 5 or 5+.
Yeah. a good, great, and a best. Okay, so Ellen's good is the love that Kevin and Randall clearly have for Kate. It's beautiful to see sibling love like that. You could tell when Randall found the broken window that he and Kevin were ready to whoop the crap out of Mark. Ellen's second good, aka she's even got second good and a great. The bonding between Toby and Jack. I loved seeing the realization in Toby's eyes that he can still show Jack his love of Star Wars in a new way. Ellen's great. Rebecca bringing out angry Mama Bear and telling Mark to get the hell out of my house. Mandy Moore is the freaking best. Mm-hmm. I actually stood up and applauded when she did that. And Ellen said that her best part one is the tape. My God, I bawled like a baby. It was beautiful to see the big three so affected by it. I felt the same way when I found old home movies of my mom. And I recently... hearing loved ones' voice like that again after they've passed is strangely therapeutic. And her second best is the use of "That'll Be the Day" music when older, smoking hot Kevin arrives at his house. When you realize that it's the same music used to show Jack dying in season 2. What am I singing? I'm singing a different thing. Right?
What do you mean?
What? That? Oh, it is the same music. God, never mind. They used two of the... I'm thinking of the... There was a house... I'm singing the first... Okay, whatevs, guys. Multiple song pieces. Where's my coffee? And now... Oh, it's okay. Ellen was saying it's just sad because that was first shown when Jack was dying and now Rebecca is dying to make it a full circle and all the feels came out. And her hot take is I reckon the her scenes are part of the finale of the whole series.
Yes. And the next one comes from Jody Bice. She says, 5 lemonades and all the horses. This is the best episode of this season so far.
Agreed.
Good was Toby. I knew he had it in him. He saved Jack's life and he found a way to connect with him with Star Wars. I'm so proud of him for stepping up and finding a way. The great was Rebecca for being just her, for protecting her daughter when she needed to, saving that crumpled up drawing. And the best... of course, goes to Jack freaking Pearson.
Yep.
The recording is gold. What a treasure they have. I have a voicemail saved of a loved one. I've had it for 7 years, and I listen to it once or twice a year and ball. I feel so lucky to have it. They found gold. Oh. By the way, I have to make a correction to what I was saying about your crazy laugh.
Okay.
The episode of Her, it was when we were talking about E.T., and your laugh does appear on that one.
Okay.
But... the one that I'm referencing when we were talking about the Princess Bride actually takes place in the within the final 6 minutes of the podcast, and it's for the season 4 winter premiere Lights and Shadows.
Holy That's smokes. When
it was. So it was
good
the,
memory.
It was Lights and Shadows. That was the episode. So if you want to go back, maybe if I can find it, I'll play it on this one.
No, you don't need to do that right now.
No, I'm not going to do it now, but I may do it later because it's so
well,
funny.
Let's get into the episode analysis.
Okay, let's do it. What do you got? What do you want to do you want to begin?
You can do begin. You have it in our notes.
Let's see. Where do I want to begin with this? I think the thing that
can we get the part that like doesn't really fit?
What do you mean?
Toby. Love it, but doesn't really fit. So
In what respect? What do you mean?
Just the storyline with him and Jack. It's not have anything to do with the big three.
Yes, okay.
So let's kind of get like the little, that bit out of the way.
I feel for Toby here. I feel a lot for Toby.
I have felt things for Toby in this episode that I didn't think I could feel.
Well, what do you mean?
Bad for him. I felt proud of him.
Mm-hmm.
I saw progress. And I haven't felt those things for Toby. When Jack started choking, first, how do you get a baby actor to pretend to choke that way? Because that was fantastic. I honestly thought the baby wasn't breathing. I stopped breathing as soon as Jack stopped breathing. I held my breath. I was so nervous.
Yeah, you tend to do
so,
that. When people go underwater or whatever, you hold your breath.
I don't even mean to.
No, you don't, but you do.
It just happens, and then that doesn't help my anxiety, okay? Because I'm watching this, and as a parent, I'm saying, come on, man, you got to flip them over. You got to stop wasting time. Flip them over and give those back. You can hear me. I'm actually clapping because I'm like pretending to whack a baby on the back. when that little egg spluttered out of the baby's mouth, first off, how did they do that? Did they use like a pea shooter? It just plopped out.
Well, I could probably tell you how they did it.
Was it on a string?
No, I'll tell you how they did it. They did it in a way so that what was unfortunate, and I could tell what was happening, was that the baby was fake. not like when
the CPR baby.
The CPR baby was way fake. Yeah. You can see it in the back of the head.
No, it has to be because
and the hair and the whole thing. It was like it was unfortunate fake. Like almost like that movie American Sniper with the fake baby where it was like very clearly.
But basically one of the babies that you practice on in the baby CPR class.
That's exactly the case.
Well, they couldn't have actually whacked the baby actor. So I'm glad that they used a fake baby.
So what happened was when the baby was turned upwards, it was a fake baby again and the food just like bloop. And it like
just squirted out like one of those baby dolls that
and,
poop.
Yeah. And just that's yes. Just like a baby poop doll.
Yeah.
That's what that was. So that was going to be my bad, the obviously fake baby, like the unfortunately fake baby.
Well, whatever, man.
But I think whatever, and it is what it is. So
I'm glad they didn't endanger a real baby.
No, I'm glad.
So are we happy that Jack has been exposed to Star Wars?
Absolutely.
Right?
Abso-freaking-lutely.
It's about down time, Toby, that you put two and two together.
And it's I love the nerd part of this where he talks about Ben Burtt and how Ben Burtt designed all the sound for Star Wars. And I was just, yes, thank you, Toby. Thank you, This Is Us, for recognizing Ben Burtt and all the amazing work that he did.
Blake tells me all about it. Every time we get a new piece of audio equipment for our basement, Mary, let me tell you why I have to attune our television and all of our 1 million speakers to the Star Wars system.
We don't have a million. We have 7.
You see, there's this guy named Ben Burtt. And I'm like, uh-huh.
Yeah, okay, okay. Blank, sure.
When
yeah.
do I get to watch Free Willy?
Tell me all about THX. Fine. Okay, so, all right, we talked about
We're proud of Toby.
Very proud of Toby. And I feel like I have a good hot take about this.
Okay.
We'll save it for later. But this is the beginning of what Toby needs to do. And I'm proud of him for finally connecting to Jack. And it's... You can only, I think, spread this out for so long in terms of the story itself. You need to get Toby to interact with Jack.
Agreed.
And you need to find some kind of detente between Kate and Toby for their story to progress. So it's the right choice. But you brought up Free Willy, and I just have to say, when they talked about Free Willy in this episode, and they talked about White Fang
and Elijah Wood.
And Elijah Wood, I said, I swear on everything holy in this world, the writers are listening to us.
Except obviously, I've talked about these things after they wrote this episode, but it goes to show you that I'm a target demo.
Yeah. Absolutely. They're like, absolutely.
Would Mary Larson watch White Fang and Free Willy? Yes, she would.
Yes, she would.
Cool. Would a Mary Larson like Elijah Wood? Man. Probably.
Oh, God.
Except in that movie where he talks to a dog. Our TV show.
The TV show. It's Wilfred. That's the name of the show, Wilfred.
How was it?
I love that show. I thought
Do you
that
know
was
that
great.
Every time we forget something's short name, someone's name, or like a one, you know, named thing, I keep thinking about The Sound of Music. But Maria, she's sitting in the bed and she's like, blessing, God bless this kid, God bless that kid. And she forgets everybody's name and the lightning's happening. And then she goes, ah, yes, God bless Kurt. So like, whenever we finally remember someone's name, like Wilfred, I want to be like, and God bless Kurt. Like we finally remembered it. Sorry that you're not an appreciate. You don't have an appreciation for The Sound of Music.
No, I don't.
I tried to get Blake to watch it.
No, I was.
He made it halfway through.
It was misery. I was done.
We would not be where we are today if I knew this about him.
Oh my God, no chance. No chance. I'm out. I am way out on The Sound of Music.
Okay, Star Wars, check. Done with Toby. Let's move on. Mark sucks.
Mark sucks hard, dude. Like a hard pass on Mark.
Okay, so. The end of Mark. He doesn't deserve any more time on this episode.
No, I think he's going to be gone for a while too. I don't think he's coming back. That creepy kid with the stupid mustache is goodbye.
You know that he smells.
He absolutely like he doesn't have like
hygiene.
No, it's not even like a poop smell. It's like
you need to not say that word anymore. It's now been said twice on this podcast.
It doesn't matter. It's not even that kind of. It's like B.O. smell.
Yeah, that's
like
what I picture.
B.O. and beers. Like, that's what I picture.
Yeah.
It's like college, but worse.
He's the kind of guy that would drink cough syrup. I had a lot of those guys in my class.
You get Robahigh?
Yeah. One kid, he lost it in algebra. No, was it algebra? I forget. He was in math class, and he just climbed a bookcase and fell off. He just got up, scaled it like Spider-Man, fell.
Oh, man.
That's, listen, I don't care. I did not need health class telling me not to do drugs. I saw that and I was like, done. I was afraid to drink cough syrup from then on out.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Oh,
let's get into that kid sucks.
Before we get into something else, let me just ask you. How did you feel? And I know it was part of my great, and we kind of talked about it already, but I want to get your final take on it. Them using To Build a Home, that song again. Do you think that that song should be special to the Pearson home burning down and, you know, kind of being related to Jack's death? Or are you happy they used it again in the context that they used it?
Totally happy that they used it again.
Why?
A, it's about a home and the new Pearson home, mm-hmm. you know, that was the old one and now it's the new one. But also, it's like the freaking Grim Reaper.
What do you mean?
Like, death's coming for you, Rebecca. Watch out.
Oh, okay. I got you.
You know, with the guy with the Sith and that, like, cape.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're like, oh, man, this is so cute. Like, coffee shop music. No, it means death.
Yeah, it kind of does. It's implicit.
I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. Well, the video. You ever see the video of that song?
No.
Oh, it's very sad.
Gosh, it sounds it, but
it's very sad. It's about a guy and he's in love with this girl, his wife, obviously, and they live in this house together.
Yeah.
And she's like sick and he goes and he's taking care of her left and right.
Okay.
And then at the end of the song, you realize that she's dead.
She's been dead this whole time?
Oh, no. It's not like Sixth Sense. She dies. Oh. And the bed that she was laying in the whole time. She was dead the whole time?
I just picture him like holding this dead body. Rocking it back and forth, weird.
She dies, and he walks into the room for the final time. Instead of seeing his wife, it's just an empty bed. Oh my god, it was.
You need a new comforter after that.
And it's a brutal video. Anyway,
hey, you know what was good?
What?
How well Candle? Oh, Candle. That was a Kevin Randall. How well Kevin handled, that's what it was, Kevin handled. How well, okay guys, just so you know, my anxiety's been pretty rough. I blame the Randall episode. But
haven't been the same since.
I have had to cut caffeine out of my life. I read it on Google last night, so I cut caffeine out of my life. I mean, I stopped drinking it today. I also decided I'm taking up running because that seems to maybe help Randall. No joke, I signed up for a 5K. Anyway, so today's my first day caffeine-free. It's not going well.
Can we just talk about how much you are Randall? Like
the part where they were in the store and he was like, guys,
I gotta go. I gotta
drive home.
I can't see my cameras. I gotta go home. It, I
was like, and then 5 seconds later, don't worry. Well,
never mind. False alarm. I was like, this is so Mary and makes me want to puke. Like,
yeah.
I can't believe that. I love you very much, my
Thanks.
Darling. I know I said at the beginning of this episode, I don't tell you enough. So I'm going to say it again. I love you. However,
it's been really nice to have a television version of me because now Blake's like, how's your anxiety doing today? And I'm like, oh my God, he knows what it means. So anyway, sorry, let's get back to basics.
Yes.
Kevin, how he handled the news that Rebecca isn't doing so well. He needed a little time out, need a little breather, which I'm all about that. It's taken Blake
absolutely.
A long time
yes.
to appreciate that I need some space. You know, some people need some space to digest. And he came back and they worked it out, man.
Well, he didn't come back. They went to him.
They met to go dig up the thing.
Can I honestly say when he's like, you guys coming here to kill me? They had the shovel and everything.
Loved it.
Great. Great line. Good. The writing in this episode is spectacular because it's very real. And more importantly, I have to say Justin Hotley nailed the kind of tension
mm-hmm.
and disappointment and anger
yes.
and all of the above in this scene.
Agreed.
This scene was spectacular between all three of them. The show is at its best when the big three are together.
Agreed.
When they are together, things happen. It's
magic.
It's electric.
And it needs to be the older big three.
Yeah,
the little big three, adorbs.
Yes, very okay. adorbs.
Teenage big three, all right.
Yep.
Not my faves. I'm not going to lie.
They're a little
teenage
angsty. They're a little angsty.
I did love when Kevin, because Kevin does have these zingers, these like comical zingers, like, you guys thought you guys were coming to kill me.
Yeah.
teenage Kevin, he said something funny. I'm forgetting it right now. But when they like went to the cabin to go do, you know, Jack said he wants to do this time capsule thing. I forget what it was. But I just love how they really, truly stick to Kevin's character.
Yes. Throughout the whole time.
All of their characters, honestly, throughout. Yep,
I would agree. Can we talk about...
I love how you ask me if we can talk. That's what we do, love.
So you know what? You're right. It's probably a crutch of mine.
Okay.
Let's talk about...
There you go.
Let's talk about a somewhat on-the-nose metaphor of the missing piece of the puzzle being Jack's watchful eye over the family.
You just went deep.
I did. That's a little on the nose for me, but I'm happy to accept it because it's just so damn cute.
Agreed.
It is so damn cute. And I feel like you would absolutely get a puzzle made of a picture from our family.
I also Googled that last night.
Of course you did. Of course you did. Oh, my God.
You're welcome.
Oh, my God. You're funny. But you're not as funny. You're not as funny as Kate and Kevin in the store with the voicemails from Madison.
Holy smokes.
That, I mean, let's just say Madison and Kevin... We all know that they're done. It's fine. It's not
100% unconfirmed. He did just sleep with her, and someone's pregnant in the future.
Yeah, but it's not going to be a thing. It's not going to be a thing.
We don't know.
Her playing the joke and him be like, oh, we could just tell.
You keep saying it's not going to be a thing. You've said that about every single person. You said it's not going to be a thing with Zoe. It's not going to be a thing with Madison. And you said it's not going to be a thing with Sophie.
And it's not going to be. I told you it wasn't going to be with random girl one. It's not going to be a thing with random girl two.
It has to be Cassidy.
It's going to be Cassidy. I'm telling you right now.
Why the heck is she there?
I would allow for a possibility of Zoe. I would allow for it. But I don't think that it's going to be that. I don't think so.
Then what was Cassidy's purpose all this time?
I think... I don't know. Because they allude to the fact that Cassidy is getting back together with her husband. They allude to that.
Okay.
But This Is Us is great at throwing curveballs.
I just want Sophie. That's all I want.
Yeah,
period.
But she is connected to her fiance.
No, she's not. Listen, I've seen her in Virgin River. She's very lonely and bored and just twiddling her thumb. She's ready to try something different.
Do you think... I have this fanfic in my head that all the time that Sophie was not on This Is Us, she moved to Virgin River.
She was a nurse Virgin River.
Yeah, this is what she was doing when she wasn't on This Is Us.
She went by a different name.
Yeah, because she couldn't handle it anymore. Yes. Yeah, this is absolutely a great fanfic.
Wanted to go somewhere where they didn't really have like a lot of movie theater so she wouldn't see her ex. Yeah. Yep.
So if you look at it like it's a spinoff.
It's great. It fits.
I'll take it.
Amen.
I'll take it. The voicemails were great, and it was great because she was like, hey, what's this? What is this? He's like, oh, geez, I don't know. And then she goes for the third email, and he's like, oh, wow, there's a third one.
Yep.
I'm telling you, great things happen. Great things happen when the big three, when they're older,
agreed,
are together. Oh, man. It's just a great episode. It's a great episode. I don't know. You know what I do want to ask you? Because it's related to Kate. And I know we said we were done with them.
Oh, no.
I know we said we were done with them. But I can't let this one go.
Oh, dear.
Did he drop the mug on purpose? Or
yes.
Did he do it by accident?
No, he did it on purpose. 100%.
You think so?
Blake, I was right about the hat. I'm definitely right about the mug. Tess's hat.
If there are writers that are listening to us right now,
stop.
I want you to message us. Mary and Blake Media, Instagram, or Facebook. We're here, Mary and Blake. Tell us that I'm right and Mary's wrong. Because Mary's already been proven right once, and it's driving me bananas. Because she holds it over my head.
Sweetheart, but this is like not a good one to kind of stake your claim in. That you think that Mark didn't break the mug on purpose.
I'm not saying that he didn't on purpose. He didn't do it. I'm saying I think there's room.
No.
I think there's room for interpretation.
No.
You don't think so?
She told him not to do something. Period. I said period. It's a period of four times. I'll stop it.
I did love the fact that Kate said, listen, put that mug back.
She stood up. And that's why he did it.
Put it back. And it's because, you know, obviously it was, you know, Jack drank out of that all the time. But, you know, Mark isn't even worthy to touch that freaking mug at all.
Well, this is the thing, too. Like, they don't have a lot of stuff with Jack's picture on it. Mm-hmm. It all burned. You know, they have a very few things. They'll have the flipping puzzle was missing his eye.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. They put it away when they were kids. She can't even build a puzzle with his face on it. So it's probably one of the few things that has Jack's face, and now it's broken. Yeah. I wish I had seen that mug in the modern time glued back together.
That's true.
Randall would have fixed it with his puzzle skills.
Rebecca doesn't have a huge presence in this episode until she tells Mark to get the hell out.
Yeah.
But and then Jack says, you know, your mom doesn't mess around.
It's all about mom.
It is about mom. And this whole, it's further evidence and it's further proof that this entire show, the main crux of it all is Rebecca.
Agreed.
It absolutely is. And, you know, I love the fact that we have this flash forward set with Kevin and all the older, like when the big three, when they're very older, and Rebecca's there, and it's going to be the final moments of the show, and it's going to happen at this house with the great spectacular reveal that the house is on the same property as the cabin.
So good.
And you know, we have the song playing to build a home. The old Pearson house was deconstructed, and we have the brand new Pearson house built in Jack's dreams that Rebecca believed in. She's dying in this house that Kevin built in honor of her, of Jack, and to build a home is playing once again. It is spectacular. I will say one last thing about this episode, that the candles in the cabin when the power went out.
Yes.
Very Twilighty.
Very Twilighty, and also very unsafe for a family who has a tragic fire.
I know. You feel like they would kind of cut down, like they'd have more flashlights than they would candles.
Yeah,
but like you saw the candles going up the stairs, you know,
it was
like
very one every romantic.
It was very beautiful, and it was very well shot. The lighting was gorgeous, but it was very Twilight.
Very cold in there without any electricity.
I would imagine.
Well, they had the fireplace.
That's true. That is true. Do you got anything else about this episode that you want to talk about, my darling?
No, I don't.
I will say, lastly, I think the way that this episode begins, the sad three come together to go to the cabin to feel better. And it takes an act from their dad to make them feel better without them even recognizing it. So the growth that we have here is that Kevin understands his situation. He feels better about it, knowing now what's happening with his mother. And he finally has something to attach himself to, which is this idea of building a brand new home for him and starting a family.
How much money does this guy have?
A lot, apparently. Yeah. And Kate, too, has found resolve in her, a little bit, at least, in her marriage with Toby. And
until she finds out Jack almost choked.
Yeah, but no, that it'll happens. Be fine. That happens. And she's found resolve with her mom. Like, she understands, like, oh my God, I've spent so much time being a dick to my mom, and I shouldn't have been.
And now the family gets to tackle this issue together.
Right. And even Randall here. Randall comes to the conclusion, yeah, I think I need to see a therapist. You know, he spent so long telling his friend, nah, I ain't doing that. I don't need no therapy. I'm just going to run. Yeah. I'll be fine. And now he realizes, and after Beth's, I think, prodding a little bit, yeah, let's go see a therapist. My anxiety has ruled my entire life, and it's always there. It's bubbling, and I feel like it takes him a lot more effort to keep it under control than we all realize. So, yeah, I'm happy with the journey that this episode went through. Not only is it a great thematic episode, it does what This Is Us does best, which is the kind of schmaltzy feeling good.
You just want to rewatch it.
I kind of want to rewatch it again.
We're going to.
Yeah, we're going to. All right, you ready for some in or out? You got anything else to say?
No.
All right, ready for some in or out?
Yes.
Let's do it.
What's it going to be, McFly? Are you in or out.
So you'll be thankful that I do not have a music bed under this. I knew that was going to be a lot for you to handle. So I don't, you know, I did put it in this episode.
Thanks.
All right. In or out on the movie White Fang?
All in. That was one of my top watched movies before I moved out for college.
Now, did you have White Fang on a VHS or did you have it on DVD?
VHS. We didn't have DVDs.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. In or out on Free Willy?
Super in. I loved Free Willy so much that it was the first movie soundtrack that I got, and I got it on a cassette. One of the songs that I loved on it, it goes like this, like SWV SSWV. I don't even know what it is. You can find it. Free Willy soundtrack. I know you're looking for it already. I love that movie. It's so bad. It's so bad. But I owned the soundtrack to Free Willy.
I gotta find this. I have to find this. Hold on. Oh,
I know that you're also going to ask me if I'm in or out on Elijah Wood.
Before we continue with that.
You're trying to find Free Willy?
Yes, but I just have to say that Free Willy has one of the most funny, unintentional comedic lines in the history in the history of film.
Bring it on down.
It's when the kid steals the dad's truck and he takes the whale out.
Yep.
he does this thing where he says, you know, Michael Madsen plays the dad. Michael Madsen is like this kind of big, tough kind of guy. And you don't expect him to be the dad in this movie, and you don't expect him to have these lines.
Found it.
What's the name of the song?
Right Here, Human Nature Remix by the SWV Sisters with Voices.
Okay, hold on.
Right Here. I'm going to know it.
Hold on. It's taking time.
I wonder if anyone else listening had this soundtrack. Here we go. Get ready for the S double.
And they got pictures of Free Willy.
Yes. S double U double V. It's coming. I'm feeling it. This is what little, 12-year-old Mary.
U double V.
Yep. Yes. And it's all like Free Willy. The things I thought it was dirtier. To me. So here's little 12-year-old Mary. Yep. There's a really good Michael Jackson song.
Oh, yeah.
So, look at you. You're feeling it.
So, Michael Madsen has this unintentionally funny line that every time I hear it, I laugh hysterically, especially now since we've rewatched it since then.
This one.
Yeah, that song. He has this line where he says, "What do you do with my truck? And this whale."
Yeah. Does not make sense.
And this whale is just so stupid.
Anyway, Free Willy.
All right, so
in.
Okay, in or out on Elijah Wood.
In.
You're in on Elijah Wood?
Totally.
Get out of here.
Are you kidding me?
He is the worst.
No, he's not.
Stop. Elijah Wood is the worst.
You've been saying that ever since Lord of the Rings because Blake, ladies and gentlemen, hold the phone, is a Frodo hater.
It is not Frodo's fault. Frodo sucks.
No, he doesn't.
He's
it's
such
the ring.
A whiny little dink.
Because of the ring. Ugh. The ring sucked out his life and its happiness, and that's why he had to go away on the elven ship, okay? Because he will never be complete.
Sucks.
He was pretty much Jesus in Lord of the Rings, okay?
You know what?
He sacrificed himself.
We're going to time out on that one.
Aslan. How about that? Let me take it like down a not religious route. Aslan.
Oh, Elijah Wood
Which
sucks.
Aslan was written
I hate
to be
face.
Jesus. You know that, right? C.S. Lewis?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I don't care.
I'm just saying, fine. Did you like Aslan?
No, I didn't.
You don't like Aslan?
No, I don't care about Aslan.
From Narnia?
Because it doesn't make sense
what
in
do you
Narnia.
Mean?
He's the lion, okay? He's the one running the whole deal. And all of a sudden, these kids just show up, and he's like, okay, I guess I'm out.
He
See
was
you
waiting
later.
For them.
Oh, God,
okay,
no.
So Elijah Wood, you don't like because he was Frodo.
And he sucks as Frodo. Frodo the character sucks.
What about Forever Young? so good in Forever Young.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
Mel Gibson was much better in Forever Young.
Adventures of Huck Finn totally brought that character to life.
No, the only movie I kind of liked him
in. Super creepy.
He got killed in The Good Son.
He was in Flipper. He was in Flipper.
He was in Flipper.
Oh, it's another good movie.
He was in the movie Radio Flyer. I liked him in Radio Flyer. He was also in Deep Impact, which was not a big... Armageddon's a much better film than Deep Impact. I just have to say that. All right. In or out on Western omelets.
Hold on. What? He was also in Happy Feet in its sequel,
yeah,
Elijah Wood.
I think he played the voice of the main character.
The main penguin?
He was the main penguin.
Oh, cute.
That's why I'm definitely out on him.
Okay, sorry.
Playing
what
penguins.
What were you saying?
In or out on Western omelets.
Totally in.
I'm way out. I'm out on omelets in general.
Yeah, but you know me. You brunch with me, and I frequently get omelets.
I know. I think omelets
suck. I also like Greek omelets. I like spinach, some olives, and feta.
Some tomato.
Yes.
I'm out on tomato.
I know you are.
I'm out on tomato. In or out, sleeping with your best friend's brother.
In.
Yeah, like, I don't see the problem with it.
I mean, it could be for a really awkward situation.
Sure, it's awkward, but I mean, like, it happens.
Your best...
What?
What did your best friend do with your sister?
They didn't sleep with each other, but...
They did a little something?
There's been a long-standing rumor that they may or may not have hooked up at a Jimmy Buffett concert.
Hey, there you go.
I don't care. It is what it is. All right, in or out, and we're moving on. We're whistling past the graveyard on that one. In or out on cabins?
Totally in.
Yes.
Except Blake and I have decided we would be terrible cabin owners.
I would love to have a cabin.
We'll just rent a cabin.
Well, I'm all about the renting cabin life. All right, in or out on the movie John Wick?
Out.
Love John Wick.
So out.
There's so much cool about Gun Fu. Gun Fu is like the coolest thing ever.
You know what's really cool?
What?
Mordor.
Mordor is cool, especially when Frodo wasn't there with stupid
Elijah
Wood.
Knowing how to speak in Elven.
Also cool. The movie Tolkien. You can give me Liv Tyler speaking Elven all day. That's great.
Yeah, and her like nipple dress.
I'm all about the Liv Tyler life.
I know you are.
But... I'm out on Elijah Wood and Frodo because Frodo sucks.
Because Frodo's nipples didn't show. That's why. Star Wars figurines, in or out?
Way in on Star Wars figurines. Before I married Mary, I had a bunch of Star Wars figurines that were hanging. Well, not hanging, but they were in my office that I had. They were everywhere.
Where are they?
And I took them down because I didn't want Mary to think that I was one of those freaky 40-year-old virgin guys.
Where are they?
They're in our storage room somewhere.
Oh, okay.
In or out on feeding your baby eggs?
Not only am I so in, but I made a video of it.
With eggs?
Yep.
Nah, really?
Yeah.
Stop.
It's one of my baby-led weaning movies.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
And you want to know something crazy?
What's that?
I made them with breast milk. Oh, man. I used to be so hippie.
Oh, my God.
When I was a very new mom, guys, I was in all the crunchy mom groups. Oh, I was in all of that. And they were like, this is how you make eggs.
Nerd!
We'll just scoop past that one, too.
Oh, we'll just whistle past the graveyard on that one as well. All right, you got a hot take?
Listen, I'd rather it from me than from a cow.
Oh, God.
I'm lactose intolerant, so that's... Let's move on.
All right, you got a hot take?
No.
I do.
Oh, wait, I kind of do.
All right, let's go. All right, what do you got? What's your hot take?
Oh, you go first.
No, you go first.
You go first.
All right, I'll go first. My hot take is that this whole thing with Kate and Toby's marriage ending and this and that with the neighbor, whatever, it's all a red herring. They're going to be fine. They're going to live. You can tell because Jack, I'm sorry, Toby finally found a way in with Jack. And that's okay. Like that's a way in. And as long as you have the way in, then you're going to be okay. They can find common ground on the way in.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have this problem of Jack in the future coming with somebody. We don't know who to Kevin's future house. Now, to me, that screams his wife and his kid. But we also know that Toby does not have a ring on and he's in bed alone.
Okay.
Kate's dead.
Okay.
Kate's dead. That like I think this episode confirms it, that Kate's dead.
Why do you think this episode shows that she's dead?
Because Toby found a way in with Jack. He found you can
feel it
find common ground when you have that.
Okay.
you can fix your marriage when you have a way in. As long as you have the way in and as long as you love the person, you can fix your marriage. You can fix your relationship. So I think that's what's going to happen.
When does Kate die?
Probably shortly before all of this.
What? Right. That doesn't mean anything. But shortly
before the whole flash forward when they're all older.
Okay.
I think he is very sad and depressed. That's why he's in bed alone because he's all messed up.
Wow. You just went there.
I did. So I think she dies.
Okay.
And that's why he's not wearing his wedding ring, the whole thing.
Okay.
So that's me. All right, what's your hot take?
Yours was like so depressing.
Well, what do you want me to do? This Is Us throws so many curveballs at you.
Yep.
Who would have thought that Jack drew this house and Kevin built the house based on this drawing? Like, you never would have thought that, but it happened and it's real. So I'm thinking that's what's the case.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. What's your hot take?
I think Mark comes back. I think he's a friggin' creepy stalker.
Really?
Because if we spent all this time worrying about someone saying, I wish I knew, oh my goodness, all these things. Yes, it was a terrible situation, but I just feel like we fanned that fire for too long and it fizzled out quickly. So part of me is like, I don't know, does he pop up in a creepy way?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
He might.
He looks the type.
I think it's safe to say.
I just won't give up.
He's probably going to be gone for a while.
Okay.
I think it's safe to say that, but that's just me.
I'm just putting it out there. I don't know. It wasn't very hot. That was like a lukewarm take.
We're not nuclear with that take.
I'll just put Free Willy back on. That'll make me feel better.
No, turn that off. Turn that because it sounds like crap.
No one can do. Oh, I'm just still making up lyrics.
Well, before we do, I found where Mary had her crazy laugh.
Gosh, really?
And please? I have to play. I have to play it. Come on. Okay. We've been teasing this thing the whole time. I got to play it.
Okay.
Ready for hot takes?
As you wish.
Anybody want a peanut?
That's it, Fleek.
Oh.
I have nothing else to say.
So, yeah, I had to play that because it's important. And that laugh is, it just makes me... That makes me just warm inside, and I love okay. I love every second of that laugh.
Good.
And I often play it when I need to have a pick me up, and I play the ET conversation when I need to have a pick me up.
Oh my gosh!
I play the ET conversation because it's a funny thing.
Good, I'm glad.
All right, Marvin, you ready to close this bad boy out?
Yes, all right. I am.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's close it out.
Yes, please. Yeah, man.
I got you.
Everyone wants to whip out their harmonica, baggy t-shirt, mullet. That's right. What?
The hair,
high tops.
The hair in this kid is so bad. It's so bad.
No, that's like Jonathan Taylor Thomas peak years time. You know?
This kid was low rent Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yeah, I don't know where this kid came from.
He was low rent JTT.
Maybe he really liked animals. Liked orca whales.
Troubled youth who loved orcas. They were like, you know who's great for this role? No, we don't want Elijah Wood. He sucks. Let's get JTT. And JTT was like, nah, I'm not doing no whales. No stupid whale.
And they just found some kid pressed to the glass at SeaWorld. And they were like, do you like orcas?
You look like a low-rent JTT.
Are you busy for the next 6 months?
Oh, man. Oh, God, this movie, Free Willy. All right, anyways, thank you for listening, everybody. Thank you for enjoying This Is Us 2 and putting up with our stupid conversations and having a good time. You can always find us at maryandblake.com. All of our podcasts are there.
Have you watched Free Willy 2?
Absolutely not.
Or Free Willy 3?
No, of course not. Is low-rent JTT in it?
He must be.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know. I just refuse to believe in low-rent JTT.
Yeah. His name is Jason James Richter.
Jason James Richter.
His Wikipedia is the shortest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
He even wanted to be JTT with the three names.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Jason James Richter.
He's in Free Willy 3,
I'm
Rescue.
I'm JJR. Screw JTT. I'm JJR.
He is not, however, in Free Willy, Escape from Pirate's Cove, a direct-to-video family film.
You wouldn't say. Really?
Pirate's Cove, Free Willy.
Oh, man. We call that corporate synergy, ladies and gentlemen. Disney with Pirate's Cove. Anyway, you can find us at maryandblake.com. Check us all out there if you want to get in touch with our podcasts. You can email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com or look us up on social media. Just find the name Mary and Blake. We are there. Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, apparently.
No, not really, though.
Facebook, YouTube, all of it. We're all there. And that's that. Thank you, everybody, for listening to us. Thank you for your reviews. If you want to help out the show, keep reviewing us. Go to MinuteWithMary.com/discount. Get your free, get your discount there. And that's that. Mavin, you got anything else?
That's it. Guys, all thank right. you so much for tuning in. And I hope you enjoy the rewatch as much as we're going to.
Or Free Willy, because we're going to be watching Free Willy, apparently. Too.
I do not picture you watching Free Willy again.
That whale! The whale!
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, for now, my name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
And this is Us Too.